Every form of inequality stands naked. P. Sainath. 30 years ago, the newspaper world was a very different, but the newsroom was a very different place, and even then was a very unique place. We used to have all kinds of people come and visit the office, sit there, talk to, because they knew we would listen to them. We had a group of sanitation workers, manual strategists, who would come and directly meet our data. We had top politicians, even at the height of the Punjab problem here, mother visit to our office. We had top policemen visit our office. We had gangsters from the other. They knew that whoever they were, they knew that we would not display games with them, nor would we be playing their game. That much of an understanding was there, and Ignatius was for us. I am not surprised to know that this is my third book. I were as productive as that. I am only about to come with my second 25-35 years. Despite the handicap of language, I have the advantage of knowing his credibility. Thank you for congratulations on your book, Ignatius, and I'm glad I came here for a good study. For many decades on the subject that I'm speaking to you today, I think the greatest single problem that the country faces is rampant inequality. It grows faster than it has been at any time in our independent national history. And the process of recreating and expanding inequality began, to my mind, 30 years ago. It began in 1991. If you look at India's economic history trajectory from 1947 to the 1980s, income inequality actually declined. It declined not as much as it should have, not anywhere. The speed at which it should have, but it declined from the 80s. It begins sliding again after we get into our IMF loan, World Bank loan. From there again, there is reversed. Yet from 91, we adopt a set of policies that makes a virtue of engaging inequality. It makes a virtue. And instead of putting our trust in people, putting our trust in policy, we embrace an entity called the market. Suddenly we embrace not the ideals of the freedom struggle, not the ideals of the independence and national movement of the country, but we embraced something called a sub-market, which is supposed to be like some supreme god-like entities, actually and in fact even have a doctrine, the invisible hand of the market. The invisible hand of the market is actually a very identifiable set of gravitaries. We know very well whose hands program. When the leading politicians comes up to me that has been in losses since it began make 160 profit in 1 year in 2014-15. You know something about the market from that. One, the process of inequality starts growing from 91. And I'm going to give you some numbers to show you what happens. The numbers I'm giving you are from two sources. One is always Government of India, the other the inequality. Statistics are derived from Forbes magazine. How? If you have heard of Forbes, it's the oracle of the capitalist world. Forbes magazine. It is the magazine of the billionaires club, the Arab countries. How many billionaires there are in the world and which country has more? According to reports in 1991, we are talking about dollar billionaires, not rupees, crorepatis. We are talking about dollar periods. In 1991, India had $0 periods. By year 2012, India had $53 billionaires. That list comes out every year. In March 2020, India has $98. Now, each year, we were adding sometimes. Some years we added 5, some years we added 10, some years we added 15 to 16. But in 2021, when the entire economy collapsed, when the economy tracked by 7%, remember, Government of India told you GDP has contracted 7%. 118 lakh people lost their jobs set to the homo monetary Indian economy. In April of 2020, when the GDP shrank by 7%, you would think that the number of billionaires would be lower that year. That year, we added the maximum number of billionaires. We added 42 billionaires and hit the mark of 140. In the very year of the pandemics of mass suffering like we have never known, the human race has never known, on that scale, India added $42 billionaires. When the rest of the economy stands at 7% GDP contraction, and in the second year of the paneling, we added 20. So we added 26 more to bring it to 166. Now these $166 billionaires, what was their wealth, by the way? 140 individuals controlled wealth equivalent to 26 to 27% of GDP. What is 140 people in Indian population of 1.4 billion? Population of 1.4 billion, 140 people is 0.00014% are sitting on wealth equivalent to 26% of GDP. Now, by the way, it makes you wonder, we are celebrating the 75th year of independence. Why did we have an independence? Because we are fighting inequality imposed on people by colonialism, by imperial loot and blunder of the nation. You know Dadabhai Nauroji's drain theory of Britain's loot. Professor Usha Patnaik calculated what was the drain on the Indian economy by the British Empire. And this is the amount. Over roughly 200 years, the East India Company and the British Raj siphoned down at least $44.6 trillion. She has calculated each period and the exchange rate at that period. The British Empire looted $44.6 trillion. Your economy is about getting close 30 to 36 trillion. I will let all of you have doing these exercise of what you can doing in the country with $44.6 trillion. Anyway, right now we have 166 people who got hundreds of billion dollars. Do you know if we put off wealth tax of 10%, just 10%, and only these 166 people, now consider that this money, much of the money, they double their wealth in 12 months. Mrs. Nirmala Sitharaman, I don't know how to take at her words because I do not know what her words. She only reflects what she is, sold and reproduced. So in the pandemic, you saw every form of inequality stands naked. The pandemic, and I will come to the idea of what the media did this. But some more figures for you on that money. One of the greatest protests against inequality in the last 15 years happened in the pandemic where you ever told that it was protest against inequality. The farmer struggle was the protest against inequality. When 1 lakh farmers from different states, mainly Punjab and Haryana, but there are also the farmers of Kerala Kisan Sabha who went there, stays there, volunteers, stays there for 12 months in Shahjahanpur in Rajasthan and Haryana border. And look at how your media functions. Did your media, did your channels, did your newspapers tell you that is the last 30 years since the global peace who won? After that, certainly in the time of pandemic, the largest peaceful democratic protest in the world, the farmers' protest of the India, lasted 1 year. The farmers' protest in India take the battle of farm laws. We understand what the great thing is happening in your country and your media is not able to tell you this. I went several times to the protest. I spoke to the protester because they demanded the right, best thing. You know, make me glad and make me so sad. It was winter and there was a big sun also. And there was lot of metal reflections of my eyes. There was lot of metal clinging at me. What was that metal? It was 50 to 60 retired soldiers. Each one had 1, 7, 8 medals. And they were sitting there protesting against the farm laws. Because they come from the generations of farmers, from colonels to havildars. We did many interviews with them on my website. People certainly do. The India publishers in 40 languages, including Malayalam. Please see it. www.ruralindiaonline.org. 5 of these Indians had 63 medals and these people media calling Khalistans. Government calling them Khalistans. 63 medals. These were people who fought Pakistan in two wars. Excerpts from the keynote address.